Arizona sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Murata Mornings. Social Studies. Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
When we had open phone time this morning, a caller said, don't pay any attention to what goes on Twitter. Nobody knows what they're talking about on there. So let's go to Twitter.
So let's exclusively focus our efforts.
Yeah.
On Twitter. /X.
But that sentiment does not apply to Social Studies.
Not to our listeners,
page.
No.
We have smart, fun, funny, insightful, wonderful listeners and followers. At Bickley underscore Murata on Twitter /X and at Bickley and Murata on Instagram, which if you missed the entirety of Jarrett Carlin's Coyotes tribute song, you can find it on our Instagram.
All 14 minutes of it.
That's right. go listen to it there. This is not a deterrent. Please.
It's four verses, but I wanted to get in the history of the Coyotes since it's probably the first and only time I'll be able to do a song about them.
Yes. Yeah, I think that time has maybe passed.
Well, you don't think they're coming back, Jarrett?
Oh. Start writing that song for 5 years from now. Yeah.
Five verses in 5 years.
There we go. Okay, let's get to the Phoenix Suns. Our first question, open-ended, guys. We are asking, what was most disappointing to you about the Suns' performance against the Timberwolves on Saturday? And is there anything that you are still optimistic about?
I'll start with the second half. I'm still optimistic that this series can turn. It's one game. The overreaction is you know, intense on either side of it. But I was most disappointed at, I have to point at my guy, Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
He was not good. He's got to be much, much better if the Suns are going to have a chance in this series.
5 of 18 from the field feels very much like the elimination game, Devin Booker, and that he's got to be better than that. Now, listen, he was harassed and hounded, but he's got to be, I mean, if you're Devin Booker, you get up and over at the top of that, and you've got to find a way to do it. I'm optimistic over the fact that the Timberwolves probably can't play a whole lot better than the Suns certainly can. So if they're really into this and they bring the requisite intensity, I expect a much different game in Game 2. Not necessarily a different outcome, but a different game. And that'll still be okay. Falling down 0-2 in the series is not a death sentence as long as you're competitive. But as I've said repeatedly, the thing that I don't feel good about is the physicality difference in how the teams handle that. And Al McCoy said it perfectly. Stop crying!
He sure did. All right, let's get to our listener responses. What frustrated or disappointed them most about the Suns' performance on Saturday? Solo Wing says, Devin Booker. I love him to death, but if he's not going to give a hoot, why should we? There's having bad nights, and then there's what Book is, half of a series. You're the guy or you aren't. First year, I've really lost some faith that he is the guy.
Again, I put him on my list, being disappointed from one game, but this narrative that he sucks in the playoffs is just so inaccurate. He's had a couple of rough elimination games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like anybody else stepped up in those games either. It was a team-wide thing in those eliminations.
Yeah.
Book has been a very good playoff performer, but it needs to be more consistent in this series.
Forbidden Donut doesn't focus on Book specifically. The whole team is included here. Forbidden Donut says, it seems like this team takes the day off when they think they can get an easy win. After going 3-0 against the T-Wolves in the regular season, I think they thought this was going to be an easy sweep. It's probably a good thing that they got their butts kicked. Miklo Velka says most frustrating or disappointing to him was the fact that the Suns lost and lost big. It wasn't even a game after a while. No fight in the Suns' last game. Ryan T calls out Devin Booker's constant complaining to the referees again. This listener changed his username to Devin Bricker.
Oh!
Okay.
Oh!
Devin Bricker says, most disappointing is that it looks like the guys are throwing in the towel this year. Well, except for Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic. Durant looks like he regrets being here, and it feels like Booker doesn't care about winning or losing. And then last one for this question, Ron Lobitz Jr. Is most disappointed that he used PTO to watch that mess. I'm optimistic that this team can beat any team, but the problem is their most consistent trait is inconsistency. Yes, indeed.
There is truth to that.
Yes, yes, yes. There absolutely is. We're moving on to our next question. Getting some Cardinals and D-backs in the fold as well. Of these three happenings, what would be the most surprising thing to you to happen this week? The Suns win games 2 and 3 of this first round series, and they go up 2-1 over Minnesota. The Cardinals do not pick Marvin Harrison Jr., or the Diamondbacks make it through the week without any more injuries. What would be the most surprising of those three?
I'm going to go with the first choice.
The Suns winning two games?
The next two, which I predicted they would. But again, I'm piggybacking off of what I saw in game one.
Sure.
I would not be shocked to see them come back 0-2, but I think that would be the most surprising thing to happen, if it happens.
Yeah, because the Cardinals not picking Marvin Harrison Jr., you can definitely see that happening.
The door has been left open.
Yes. Yeah, the Diamondbacks, no more injuries. I don't know. I guess number one, I'd vote A.
All right. Most of our listeners did too, or at least 50% of them did. They said that's what would be most surprising to them, for the Suns to win games 2 and 3. 29% would be most surprised by the Cardinals not picking, what is it, Mazda Marv?
Mazda?
Either.
Maserati either, Marv.
Or Bugatti Marv, either one.
That's not real. You know that, Buddha. And then 23%, our voting is shifting right now. 23% say they would be most surprised by the Diamondbacks making it through the week unscathed injury-wise. Brian V says, boomer bust, the Cardinals must pick Marvin Harrison Jr. Draft picks are great, but just pick the guy and make moves elsewhere. And then Daryl Lee says, in response to the Suns, they are who we thought they were.
You want to crown them?
Crown their ass. He says, they are a mess. Stop coping. There is no magical switch. Okay, to our final question. Jarrett noted at the start of the show that tonight, is it sundown tonight, marks the start of Passover?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's not a fan of Passover. There's fasting involved, or unleavened bread.
Yeah, you're not
there's
supposed to
There's suffering
eat.
Involved.
Yes.
There's, yeah.
There's spilling of
there's
wine.
There's haroset involved.
Yes.
There's bitter root.
It all sounds bad.
Haroset is actually the apples and
oh, that's
nuts.
Right. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Maror, the
that's
bitter
what
herb.
It is. Yeah, there we go. That's what
cheese back.
He's only Jewish by proxy.
By proxy.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right. Your knowledge of
no,
the,
pretty good.
The faith and the customs is pretty strong, man.
It's not, well, yeah, it better be.
It's like you've committed to your marriage and made it work.
How about that?
Is that how that's supposed to happen?
Take notes, man.
All right, so with
weird,
Jarrett's...
Because me and my ex-wife had the same religion.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that was the problem.
We are asking, what is the worst holiday and why? Because, again, Jarrett, not too stoked about this happening.
I like matzo ball soup, I'll say that.
To me, it's 4th of July. Worst holiday, and that's only a function of having to live it in Arizona.
Sure. Yeah, that's the one.
That is the one.
Because 4th of July in other areas is magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're afraid of melting, it takes away some of the fun.
And when half the time they can't even do the fireworks because of it's too dry outside.
Right. Yeah. Good times. Okay. Halloween was probably our most popular response. People don't care for Halloween. Lacey says it's a tie between 4th of July, specifically in Arizona, and New Year's Eve. Juan Carlos Padilla says any holiday that doesn't give me a day off. If the post office and the banks are closed, I should be at home too.
Yeah.
George Alpert cannot be denied, says New Year's and St. Patrick's Day both are just feeble excuses to drink heavily. But with St. Patty's, at least you get corned beef and cabbage.
But with Cinco, you get
tequila.
Tacos.
Tacos on Mexican.
Guac, yes.
If you need an excuse to drink, you're not trying hard enough.
True.
And facts. Can't argue with that.
Slick Mick has a take about Christmas.
Uh-oh.
Now, it has nothing to do with its traditional purpose, and it only results in people spending thousands of dollars only for families to be disappointed that you got them the wrong thing, the wrong color, the friend got something different, but not necessarily better, etc. Few people said Christmas is the most overrated holiday.
I have to, since it wasn't, I don't think it got mentioned, Valentine's Day sucks out loud, too.
Yeah, one or two people threw that in. Yeah, that's a ripoff from start to finish.
In fact, I might hate that more than 4th of July, actually.
Okay.
Yep, I'm changing my vote.
Expectations are lower for 4th of July.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at you sideways if you don't do anything on 4th of July.
Yes.
Because we're all just holing up in our homes anyway.
That's true. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you,
Sarah. Social Studies every morning at 9 o'clock. Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily. We already gave our code word in the 8 o'clock hour, but be listening in the noon hour and the 3 p.m. hour to snag exclusive Phoenix Suns code words. When you hear that word, just text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Again, be tuned in at noon and 3 p.m. today and starting tomorrow with us again at 8 a.m. daily throughout the week to score Suns playoff tickets. Coming up next, we'll get back to the Suns Minnesota series. Moving on. How much do the Suns have to shake off after that Game 1 beatdown? We'll get into it straight ahead. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. After getting run off the floor by Minnesota in Game 1, how can the Suns match the T-Wolves' desperation and even the series in Game 2? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
It's crazy. You know, you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You know, obviously, we're pissed off about the loss, but we motivate ourselves and know we can play better. I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. We know we can play better. We know we can be better. But we play again soon. You know, that's the first of four. We're excited about our opportunity. We'll obviously feel it tonight. Won't be happy about it, but, you know, we wake up tomorrow. It's a new day. You work on your adjustments and hang in on those and get better and be ready for Tuesday. But, I mean, it's going to be a good series. It's going to be a good bump. We expected them to come out and compete, and that's what they're doing. We got to respond.
Bradley Beal after Game 1 on Saturday, looking ahead to tomorrow night's Game 2. Suns, they got to hand it to them. There's no other way to say it. 120-95. And for the Suns, and there was a small faction of these people, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
The group of people that said, they're just bored by the regular season. They're waiting to flip the switch on the postseason. We saw the first sampling of that. And to me, I wasn't expecting a switch to be flipped.
Mm-hmm.
But what Game 1 represented to me was just another game in this meandering regular season for the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the last week of the season. When the Suns on Fan Appreciation Night got blown out by the Clippers. They fell behind by 31 points in the first quarter.
All right.
They followed that up the next night with a very, very lackluster effort in putting away a Clippers team that wasn't put together. They ended the regular season with back-to-back road wins in Sacramento and Minnesota. The Sacramento game was different because of what the Suns were able to do in the fourth quarter of that game in crunch time. And then they put together a complete effort. And anytime we against Minnesota to end the regular season, anytime we've seen that wave of, all right, they're starting to get it together, there's always that but performance. And that's what Game 1 represented to me. There's always the reminder that this team, there is just something off with this team. And that's what Game 1 was for me.
Yes. I agree with pretty much everything you just said. I think that, as I said, I'm watching the first quarter and I thought, okay, this is exactly what I want to see from this basketball team. They accepted the physicality and they dished it back. And the play that I keep going back in my head is Devin Booker. I forget who was guarding him, but Devin Booker used his left arm or his one of the arms and he gave a couple of forearm shivers to create separation. And there was no foul called because Devin Booker had accurately read, this is the way it's going to be, so I am going to use this to my advantage. And then they let that get away from him. I don't know if things would have been different if they would have had more success with some of those shots around the basket. It's a possibility that played a factor in this. And then maybe if Anthony Edwards doesn't finally, you know, go nuclear a little bit in that third quarter, maybe it's different.
Yeah.
I just, like you said, there was just a little too much of the bad stuff that I associate with this team on display. The turnovers, especially in the third quarter when the Timberwolves really hit the gas. gas pedal. There was a couple of turnovers in succession that were really poor.
Really poor.
Really poor. The rebounding, the physicality. There was a lot of things that they need to kind of, what do they say in the playoffs? Clean up.
Yeah. That's the other thing, though. You know, saying what I said about, you know, two steps forward, one big step back. When they have that big step back, at least the regular season told us, they respond pretty well to those stinker performances. On Anthony Edwards, we warned Suns fans about it last week. If you're gauging your expectations of what you'll see from Anthony Edwards on the three games against the Suns, probably not an accurate depiction. He had 42 points in three games against the Suns this year. He had 33 in game one. Frank Vogel talked about his performance.
He's a great player. You know what I mean? He's a great player. You try to do the best you can to slow him down without, you know, being exposed on the backside all night. But there's things we can do better that we showed throughout the regular season that we didn't do well enough tonight. And we'll make those adjustments and be ready for game two.
Vogel also said, yeah, this is what we were expecting in the regular season for Minnesota.
And we knew all week that this team is far better than the team we saw in the head-to-head matchups in the regular season. You know, I mean, it's a 56-win team with Cat missing 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever he missed. So, I mean, you know, really a 60-win caliber team that we're playing against. You know, so, you know, we knew they were going to play better. We hoped to have played better in game one, but we got to make a response in game two.
And if you want to boil this down to the big three, for Minnesota, Edwards, Gobert, and Towns completely outplayed Durant, Booker, and Beal.
Yes.
Now, it's deeper than that because the Suns' role players did absolutely nothing in this game. And you can make an argument that Nikhil Alexander-Walker was the most effective player on the floor. I mean, plus-minus.
Pretty
the best
good.
Plus-minus for either team. So,
pretty good, yeah. Yeah, listen, their perimeter defense caused the Suns a lot of issues, and the Suns have got a lot of stuff they kind of got to get up and over the top of with this basketball team. And we've seen them do it, and I think there's a lot of ways out of this that you can make more shots. You can, you know, make sure you box out and get rebounds. I know Frank Vogel was a little there. A lot of those 50-50 balls, the Timberwolves seemed to want, here we go again, wanted it more. There just seemed to be a heightened attention.
Yes. It's one of the things that I noticed during the game, both times I watched it, was that those 50-50 balls, I thought the Suns did a good job of kind of overcoming that issue late in the season, but it popped up again big time. And even, you know, a couple of just, you talk about sloppiness, and it's not just about ball handling or making a lazy pass. It's things like two guys going for the same rebound and knocking it out of bounds, giving a second chance opportunity, which just happened way too much on Saturday.
Yes, that's very, very well said. So I'll be curious to see exactly how deep the adjustments go, if there's different roles for different players.
Or how much of it's forced on Vogel. We'll get that update on Grayson Allen soon. So cross your fingers.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of players who have to be better. From Devin Booker all the way down to Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Just have to.
Even, I mean, Kevin Durant played really well, but he could be better too. He had 5 turnovers in that game.
Yeah, he did.
So, game two, we'll have a lot of preview of that game going into, or during tomorrow's show, going into that Tuesday night affair. Coming up next, we will hand out some Monday hardware. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome into the show, everybody. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, and we're heading to our fabulous website, arizonasports.com, for today's poll question. We are asking, what was most concerning about the Suns' Game 1 loss to the Timberwolves? Was it Anthony Edwards' third quarter, their rebounding, Grayson Allen's injury, or the bench production, or lack thereof?
Ooh. I'm going to eliminate Anthony Edwards. He's good. Of the other three, I guess of the three, I'd say rebounding.
Yeah.
So one-sided.
Yeah, that really was, that was really lopsided. 54-28, you cannot have that in a playoff game.
Nope.
All right, let's
we'll cast
vote
our vote
for that.
There.
Okay, perfect. We are voting. 38% say rebounding was most concerning about that loss. 29% bench production. 22% Grayson Allen's injury. 11% say Anthony Edwards' third quarter.
All right, there you go. It's today's Sanderson Port poll question. Vote on it now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bigley and Marotta Mornings.
Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. It is brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss and Wellness. Eat smart, lose weight, keep it off with Revitalize, home of the Bickley and Marotta Revolution.
Indeed.
Your first award, Vic.
First award, Vinny, is the I Have T-Shirts Younger Than Him Award. I'm giving to Miles Russell, who at age 15 not only made the cut at a Korn Ferry Tour event, he finished in among the top 25, shot a 5-under-66 yesterday at age 15.
Does that inspire you or just piss you off?
Do you know how hopeless and stupid I was at age 15?
Tell us.
How old was this kid when he first broke 80? To put it...
Don't rub it in like that. Don't rub it in like that.
How old is your youngest son?
14.
All right, he's got 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Will Cole be on the Korn Ferry Tour this time?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that story.
Yeah.
It just makes you shake your head.
My son will be top 25 at flicking boogers across the room.
He's got to catch me first.
Oh, my God.
The target on Jared Carlin's back.
Always chasing you.
Always chasing Jared.
My first award is literally the dumbest thing ever said on ESPN Award. And I'm giving it to Kendrick Perkins, who said this about the Miami Heat-Boston Celtics series.
There's levels to this. Let's be real. It really is levels to this. I mean, the Miami Heat could go 100% from the field and 100% from the free, and they're still going to get swept in this series. They just don't have the personnel to match up with the Boston Celtics. That's it.
I mean, I guess it's possible if they turn the ball over 46 times. But for instance, yesterday, Bic, if the Miami Heat would have gone 100% from the field and 100% from three, they did go 100% from the line, 6-for-6. They would have beaten the Celtics 205-114.
I know. I don't think he meant it literally.
You can say the Heat need to play near perfect basketball to have a chance. You can't put it like that. And nobody called him on it either. If somebody said that on the TNT
set, because it's patently ridiculous.
They would never let it go. It would be a joke for years if somebody said that on the TNT set.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right, my first award is MCU, more like MFU. And this goes to the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer that was just released a couple hours ago. And, of course, written by our friend of our show, Rhett Reese. And it is a great trailer and something that you should watch. But if you're at work, make sure you watch with headphones, because it is the first R-rated movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It has quite a lot of F-bombs in it.
Is it what they call the Red Band trailer?
It was just the only one I saw released. Ryan Reynolds tweeted it out.
Wow.
Hugh Jackman tweeted it out. It looks very cool if you're into superhero movies.
Fine endorsement.
And Deadpool.
From Jared Carter.
And X-Men.
Yes. I'm not big into superhero movies, but I did really enjoy the two Deadpool movies. I have no knowledge of Wolverine, though. Is that going to ruin it for me?
You've never seen any of the X-Men movies?
No.
Wow.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm an adult male.
Oh, you're going to upset some of the listeners?
Wah.
Ah!
Yes.
Those movies make billions of dollars only on kids.
Not for me!
All right, this is the Counting Down the Years Until I Can Become a Snowbird Award. It goes to our fair city of Phoenix, Arizona. Did you know that we hit 100 degrees yesterday?
Yay!
For the first time this year?
Yeah. Not for very long.
No, only 10 minutes. Sky Harbor logged it yesterday for only 10 minutes, around 3-ish yesterday afternoon. But on average, over the last 30 years, we hit 100 degrees here on May 2nd each year. So congratulations to us overachievers this year.
Yes, way to get it done.
Let's go.
Wow, we're number one.
We are number one.
Followed by two zeros.
The Refuse to Lose Award, I'm giving their co-winners in this. Scottie Scheffler on the PGA Tour, Nelly Korda on the LPGA Tour. Nelly Korda has won 5 consecutive LPGA events. Scottie Scheffler has won 4 of his last 5, including the Masters, and the lone loss, quotations, was a tie for 2nd. So wow. He's got 4 wins and a T2, and she's got 5 wins. That's insane.
Did you see how much money Scottie Scheffler has made over the last, on that stretch over his wins?
I missed that, no.
According to Front Office Sports, because this was going to be my second award, in the last 43 days, Scottie Scheffler has won $16.2
million. Wow.
On the golf course. They did the math. It averages out to $375,000 per day over that stretch.
We know, based from examples, though, that that kind of money is not enough for live golfers who need to support their families and
That's
grow
right.
the game.
They
That's
do
right.
have to grow the game, man.
My last award is the, hey, can we get this as an option award? And I'm giving it to the television networks as a whole. At the beginning of yesterday's first playoff game, maybe it was Saturday's game. It was Cleveland-Orlando. The microphones went out. And for the first 2 minutes of the game, you could only hear the crowd effects and the in-arena effects, and it was really yeah. cool. Now, added bonus is that the 2 minutes that there was no broadcasters on is that it saved us from hearing Beth Moen's voice for 2 minutes that we didn't need to hear it. Her voice drives me absolutely crazy. But why can't they have that as an option for viewers at this point? Do you want to listen to the television broadcast? You could do that. You want to listen to either the radio broadcast? You can do that. You want no effects at, or no broadcast at all? You can do that. That'd be a cool feature for viewers. I say we get that.
I feel like that sounds vaguely familiar, like they once upon a time offered that. But maybe they need the announcers to
do it,
the promos and stuff.
They do it. Like for the Final Four, they've done it, or big college football games, they've given viewers the hometown call option, but they don't do it on a regular basis.
All right, my last award is the Roasted Goat Award, and it goes to Tom Brady and Netflix, as the official date was announced today. May 5th will be the quote-unquote greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, hosted by Kevin Hart, featuring Jeff Ross and other surprise celebrity roasters. I'm not sure what to think about this. I do love roasts.
How do you feel about a roast, Jarrett?
Oh, my God. Oh, a Sunday roast with some carrots and potatoes. Delicious. Are you guys interested in the roast of Tom Brady?
Sure. I love roasts.
So, Vinny, it's 1st and 20 for the Steelers in the Super Bowl. The Cardinals are off. They should be able to close this out, right?
They
first and
be.
20?
Feeling good?
I'm feeling great about this. 2:24 left? 1st and 20?
What's the time that they actually score the touchdown? Do you remember?
2:30? 2:35?
No,
2:37?
The Steelers, the winning touchdown.
I don't know.
Because people always say, like, oh, the Cardinals were 2 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl, because they always used it to after the Larry scored.
Yes.
Now, but they actually were only like 20
Darnold
seconds away.
It was so good. This game was just so right there.
I feel confident. I think Aaron Francisco is going to step up and make a big play.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Do you have one more award, sir?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because it was about Scottie Scheffler getting the bag.
Gotcha.
He got, well, so you gave it, basically.
There you
yeah,
go. She did.
Scheffler got the bag award.
Indeed.
There you go. There's hardware brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss and Wellness. Some final thoughts coming up on this Monday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
This tune, Dick? I'm gonna kick in a little bit more.
Yeah, I think I do. What is this, Vinny?
Run Away.
Oh.
I should have queued it up better, my bad. The name of the band? Slade. In honor of Slade Sicotti.
What is up, Slade Sicotti?
Here we go.
There you go.
Slade Sicotti gets called up, pitches 6 innings, 64 pitches. And when I found out that Slade Sicotti was getting called up to start, I was like, uh-oh, this is the guy that hit me with a pitch during spring training.
Yeah.
Showed pinpoint control yesterday,
right.
though.
How about that? He was the one that threw that ball, hit you in the back? That was Slade?
Yeah, because he came around afterwards and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
This must be the extended remix version. Band called Slade, Run, Runaway. Today's song of the day. We won't give you any of the lyrics.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
So today, the Athletic released their annual 2024 NBA Anonymous NBA Player Poll. I love stuff like this.
Oh, this is really, there's a lot of good stuff in this one.
They got 127 players to participate. It's back. It's getting stronger again. These anonymous polls went by the wayside during the pandemic, but they're getting back to it. So they ask questions about, you know, who's the MVP? No votes for anybody involving the Suns there. Nikola Jokic, 42%. SGA, 37%. Luka Doncic, just under 10%. But they always had others receiving votes. Paolo Banchero got votes. Jalen Brunson, well-deserved. Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Kawhi Leonard got votes. The juicy stuff, though.
Yeah.
Most overrated player. No, let's start here.
Ooh.
The building a roster from scratch, who are you going to sign first?
Yep.
28%, not surprisingly, said Victor Wembanyama. Edging out Nikola Jokic, 27%. The rest of the top five, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If I'm not mistaken, I would have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure Devin Booker got votes in this category in years past. Was not mentioned
that,
this year.
That, to me, is the first loss in terms of the Suns fans' perspective. Yes. Devin Booker, any other year, I think he's at least receiving a vote. Because Donovan Mitchell received a vote.
Kevin Durant received a vote.
Okay, so...
And he's 35 years old.
That's funny. So Devin Booker not being on that list, that's an L.
League's most overrated player.
Ooh, this is great.
13.6% of the vote went to Rudy Gobert.
The Stifle Tower.
The Stifle Tower.
Then Jordan Poole, Trey Young, Dylan Brooks, and James Harden.
And right under that, in a group, Bradley Beal. Which, based on this season, you can't argue that
and
much.
And his salary. Yeah.
A lot of people got votes here.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler got votes. Mikal Bridges got votes.
That's right. Yeah, he did. That's right.
Most underrated player, Derek White of the Celtics and Jalen Williams, one of the two Jalen Williams, the one from here, 10.3% of the vote. Jrue Holiday was third, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fourth, De'Aaron Fox fifth.
But Devin Booker received a vote in this category.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The runaway vote every year is who in the league would you least like to fight? James Johnson, who's like basically a trained MMA fighter.
Uh-huh.
He got 53.6% of the vote. Steven Adams, they always do well in that category. Greatest player of all time. This one's for you, Jarrett. 133 votes cast. Greatest player of all time. 0.8% for Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, and Paul Pierce.
Goodness
gracious.
Paul Pierce.
9.8% for Kobe Bryant, 42.1% for LeBron James, 45.9% Jordan.
Yes, but
it's very close.
Yeah, but it's getting closer than it should be.
It's generational.
I love this category.
We're getting further away from Michael Jordan's career.
That's exactly what it is. I love the, who is your favorite current non-NBA athlete? Lamar Jackson, followed by Caitlin Clark, then Novak Djokovic, which I think probably is reflective of all the European basketball players in the NBA, the foreign-born players, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Usain Bolt, Patrick Mahomes, Mike Tyson, Justin Jefferson, John Jones.
Wow.
Yeah. And Shohei Ohtani. So, that was interesting.
Which current coach, aside from your own, would you most want to play for? Eric Spoelstra, Greg Popovich, the top vote getters there. Steve Kerr was third. Frank Vogel got 1.5% of the votes. But on the flip side of it, which current coach, aside from your own, would you least want to play for? Tom Thibodeau, 46.8% of the vote. Frank Vogel got a vote in that as well. Which team other than your own will win the title this season? 56% say the Denver Nuggets over Boston.
Wow. Steelers just scored, Vinny. I'm crestfallen.
To answer your question, Jarrett, 35 seconds left.
So that's how close they were to winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. If you want to.
I don't understand your semantics at all, Farrah.
Everyone always says they were
237 away from winning.
They always say that whenever they talk about it because they refer to when they took the lead on Larry's touchdown. But that they were actually 30-whatever seconds away from winning the Super Bowl because if they don't complete that pass, they don't lose.
Which they didn't complete, by the way.
Okay.
Look at the feed. Right there. Did they have instant replay review at that time?
Man.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us on a busy show on this Monday. Thanks to Kellen Olsen and the legendary Al McCoy. We'll have more Suns Timberwolves preview coming up starting at 6 tomorrow. Wolf and Luke are up next here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Have a great day, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.